Okay, this morning we'll be in Psalm 63. O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wing, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped.
So this week serves sort of as the end of one series and the precursor to the next, which we're going to be spending some of the summer in the Psalms. And so we are at this one psalm, Psalm 63. But this is also the end of our series, Stewardship. And in the first part, we talked about tithing time to the church. And last week, Pastor Eric talked about tithing of our first fruits, what God has blessed us with, to the church. And this last part, we're going to talk about spending time with God. It's an important stewardship understanding of this. And it's one of these things where we understand more of it as we look at the church as a body, as a living thing. We think of ourselves as living things. When we hunger, we hunger. When we thirst, we thirst. And it's one of those things that we must understand, that God has called us to be a people to this region at this time. And if we're a people of this region at this time, we need the food that he gives us, which is through his word, through prayer, to go out and minister and do the work that he has called us to. So we're going to look at spending time with God. And let me start off by saying this. It's more than just a Sunday thing. It's more than just a Sunday thing. As Pastor Eric mentioned last week, you know, if we looked at our phones, we could find out, you know, where we spend a lot of our time. You know, I always get that alert that tells me, you know, you spent blank amount of time on the phone, you know, which usually I'm looking at emails and different things and texting people and stuff, but it will tell me like how much time I spent doing that. And God wants us to spend time. You know, throughout the Bible, we see this imagery of the Word of God being like water, like bread, nourishment for us. It's stuff that we take, stuff that we like, stuff that we eat. You know, when we watch those survival shows, you know, anybody here watch Survivor? You know, you watch them and you see how they start to go downhill the longer they're there, because they don't have the food or the water as much as they have. You know, there's another show where they show it and they say, okay, you know, here's what this person, they went 21 days to survive in the wilderness, you know, using their survival skills, and they show them, like, here they are, and they lost 50 pounds because in the 21 days they were there, they didn't have a good source of food or water. And so we know that food and water are important to us. And this is why I believe that we get the Word of God described as water and food to us, because without it, we will not survive in our walk with God. So we look at this. We look at, you know, some of the things. God wants to spend time with us. God wants to spend time with you. Not just on Sunday. He wants to spend time with you every day of the week. Look at what it says right here in Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." And that's talking about personal time. We always say that's God, you know, calling a lost person. No, this is Jesus talking to a church that's far away from him. Far, far away from him. And he's telling them, come back to me. I want to sit there. I want to eat with you. I want to talk to you. I want to minister to you. This is what it means for us. It means to come into a relationship with him. This is what it means to seek him, seek his face, is to hunger for his word. We look at what he says here in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." At its heart, when we take the time to spend with God through his word and in prayer, we come to understand that those things that are attacking us through the week, those worries that we have about bills, about health, about all sorts of things, they start to melt away. It's like the old hymn says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And what it means there is that when we focus on Jesus, when we're focusing on him, when we're sitting there and we're looking at him, and we're studying the word and we're reading, all those things that we worry about, our jobs, our health, our relationships, school, all these things, they just slowly melt away. We build that relationship and we understand what it means to have Jesus as a friend. We understand what it means to fully rely on God. We understand what it means. And here we understand it. David understands it. David understands it as the two elements that we need to survive, food and water. So we look at it. We're going to look at the first point. The first point is this: spending time with God is hydration for the soul. These are in verses 1 through 4. And we see what it says. It says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked up upon you in your sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands." So the first thing that should ring out to us, even if you don't know it because it's often quoted, is this. We go through tough times wondering where God is in all things going on in on our lives. And David knew that spending time in the desert of life required God's rain, as in king rain, to rain, as in water, down on us. He mentions this, the sanctuary. We should not take that as being here in this building all the time, but rather to be in the presence of God by reading the scripture. This is why we use the term through a desert, or feeling spiritually dry when we're going through these rough times and we're wondering where God is. And the question I have for you is, if you're going through those times, what's your Bible reading like? How are you spending time with God? Because we see here David's story is amazing. You see this man, this 17-year-old boy, maybe about, be anointed as the next king of Israel. And then for over 20 years, he is hunted down by the current king, who is also his father-in-law. He is hunted down, and then during his reign, he has not one but two attempted coups by his own sons. You talk about somebody that would be under stress, somebody that would be crying out, "Where are you, God?" And yet you read his Psalms, and the one thing that you see is he does cry out, "Where are you, God?" But by the end of that psalm, he knows that God is there walking him through the troubles and the trials that he's facing. And this is what we have to understand when we're going through those. God is there. We may not be able to see him. We may not be able to hear him, but he is there. And when he is there, we have that hope. We have that encouragement. We have that indestructible faith that God is going to get us through. And it happens because we spend time in the Word. We spend time on our knees praying and talking to God. And this is what we have to come to understand. We have to make the time. You think about this. James, the brother of Christ, tells us that we need to draw near to God. It says in James 4, 8a, it says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." And Psalms imagery shows us the truth of the Word of God that David is getting at. He builds up the relationship with God that it takes spending time. And when we look at it, when we look at how we talk about the Word of God being this water of life for us, we think about it. When you study, when you watch these shows about survival, they tell you the body cannot survive more than 3 days without water. And I don't know about you, but when I forget to drink as much water, like, my joints, they swell, they get stiff. You know, it's always that one time a year I can tell you when I'm not drinking enough, because I will get out and I'll start doing things and I won't feel the sweat, but my body is evaporating the water. And I can feel my bones and my muscles getting tired and weaker because I'm not drinking enough. Water is vital. Water is essential to the human body. Water makes up almost 90% of our bodies. So we need it. And that's what we see here. David's saying, just as your body needs that water, your soul needs the water of God. My soul thirsts for you. He knows that his relationship with God is tantamount to spending time with God. He knows that he needs to spend time. We can see it with the Christian, because they become miserable spending little to no time with God. Think about that. All the Christians you've ever seen that talk a good game, but all of a sudden they turn. You know the ones I'm talking about. They like churn. And all of a sudden, they can't do no wrong, but you're doing all the wrong. God's doing all the wrong. There's an old saying by John Newton. I think it's John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace. And it says, we have it in the prayer room. And it says, he who is hard on himself is right with God, but he who is hard on others is not right with God. And his words ring out to this. His words ring out to being able to spend time with God. If you're spending time with God, your trust is in God. And no matter how hard life is, you know that God's going to get you through those things. They let the fears creep in. They look to man's wisdom and not God's wisdom. Water is a vital part of the human body in makeup and need. And spending time with God in the Bible and prayer is essential for the Christian's life. David ends this part worshiping God with raised hands. You know, how many of you saw, you know, as we're singing today, as Steve's leading us in worship, you know, there was quite a few of us with our hands raised. It's not a charismatic thing. Let me tell you that. That's not a charismatic Pentecostal thing. Baptists are bad at it. I will say that. Other denominations are equally bad. But when we raise our hands, it is a sign of worship to God. It is a sign of I surrender. I surrender. And I am yours. And that's what David's saying. David is saying, I will praise you with uplifted hands. David knew, no matter what, God was in control. We look at it that David prayed when his son with Bathsheba, the first son, fell ill. He fasted and prayed. He took away the vital part of the human nature, but he fasted and prayed. He was spending time with God. And when they come to him and they tell him the child's dead, and they're worried. His servants were worried. They were thinking, oh, David, he might go off the deep end. And they come in and David sees them and he knew. The word of God tells us that he got up, took off the sackcloth, washed up, put on oils, new clothes, and ordered a meal and ate. And when they went to him and they asked him, why are you doing this now? He said, I had hoped that maybe while the child lived, God would change his mind. But now that he is gone, he cannot come to me, but I will go to him. That's what we get when we spend time with God. We're able to get through all the trials and tribulations, and let David be that example for us. That's why we call him the man after God's own heart. God said that himself. That is the type of relationship we need to strive for. The second point is this. It's spending time with God is a rich meal for the soul. Read this. It says, my soul will be satisfied with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. My right hand upholds you. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this passage, I'm taken back to my childhood. You know, we're celebrating today's Memorial Day. Memorial Day was one of the few days my dad, we didn't have like a big grill or anything like that. We had one of those like little round grills. You probably all remember this. The round grill with the charcoal. It had the three aluminum legs. You'd put it on a table, put the charcoal in, burn, you know, light it, let those briquettes get good, and then you'd cook. And my dad would always go to this market down the Cape that he knew of, get the choice meats, and that was Memorial Day for us. My dad we didn't really get to go out much for Memorial Day, but My dad would celebrate Memorial Day. And I can remember the steaks had that grizzle. You know, that little bit of fat. And it always tasted good. And I remember my dad going, don't eat that fat. Don't eat that fat. But I remember it tasted so good. You know, the grizzle, like you'd sit there and it was juicy and it was just enough with the meat, you know. Didn't gross you out. It was just a little sliver with that meat and oh. And that's what I think of with this, is he's talking about the satisfied with fat and rich food. You know, it's that food that gets us. We think about that. We think about that. Knowing this, David talks about it. And even though that type of food that I'm thinking of is bad for us, the food that he's talking about here, the Word of God, is good for us. It's good for our souls. And we think about this. He finds this comfort and peace in this. He's talking about having this comfort and peace, knowing that God is watching over him. He meditates on the scriptures, knowing that God is watching over him. He finds this comfort. And we think about it, comfort foods. You know, that's become a big buzzword over the last few years, last several years. We hear of comfort foods. They're not necessarily healthy for us, but, you know, we think about it. You know, a grilled cheese sandwich, they say, is a comfort food. Mac and cheese is a comfort food. Cheesecake is a comfort food. It seems like everything with cheese is a comfort food.
Ice cream.
Ice cream, yeah. You know, they're not healthy for us, though. You know, cheese gives us cholesterol. It's one of the things, like, I love cheese, and Natalie has to always watch out how much cheese I get. But that's the thing. We have that comfort, those things that we find comfort in. And what David's saying is find comfort in the Word of God. Find comfort spending time with him. Find comfort praying to him. Because it's going to make you feel safe. It's going to bring you to this new point. You know, we go back to talking about the survival shows. Now, 3 days without water is bad. You can survive longer without food. You can survive about 21 days without food. And we think about this. We think about how that is. You know, the Lord tells us to fast and pray, if you can. I know not everybody can. But he tells us to fast and pray. And I will say, you know, I've been doing this, and I've been finding myself actually feeling better on those days. And I know I don't want to talk about it because Jesus says don't go in your prayer closet and don't let people know. But I can tell you that for me, being a big guy, when I'm fasting, usually when I break the fast, I feel a lot better. And it's not because I'm eating. It's because my body has survived off the fat. And when we watch these survival shows and we see these guys that, you know, go for the days and they're only eating a little bit. Like I said, we see, they always show the picture, you know, this is the day one. This is day 21. And you can see how much weight the person's lost. And the thing is we know that if a person starts to lose more weight, we think of pictures of like the Holocaust and what the Jews looked like in the concentration camps because they were just emancipated because of the lack of food that they had. And when people are like that, you can't eat like you normally would. As hungry as you are, you got to start small. And if you're that person that you're not spending time in the Word, you do start small. You start somewhere. Book of John is a great place to start. You get to meet Jesus. You get to hear how the beloved apostle saw him. And you spend that time with him. And then you build up. This is the thing. David shows us, as he meditates in his bed, as he talks about that, showing that our relationship with God is essential and that we need to be in the Lord and find strength through that relationship. This is what it means to seek the Lord. And Jesus tells us that we will not hunger or thirst in him, meaning that we will be satisfied with what we have, meaning that as we're going through the trials, we're going to be leaning heavily on him. This is what Jesus says in John 6:35. He says, "Then Jesus said, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" And that's what we got to do. We got to build up that relationship. We got to spend time. And start small. If you're not spending time, start small. Just like a person that goes without food for a long period of time. You know, there's an interesting story of this Scotsman. Look it up. This guy weighed well over 500 pounds. Worked at his father's fried fish and chips place. And he decided he could not do that anymore. He wanted to live. And so he decided he was going to fast. He went to his doctor and he says, "This is my plan. This is how I'm going to fast." And he fasts. And you can look up. There's a lot of YouTube videos describing this, talking about this, even showing the pictures before and after. But what ends up happening is this guy, for well over a year, fasted. I think it was 383 days. He fasted. He did not have anything but water, coffee, tea, and a little milk. And that was it. And when he was done, he was just over 250 pounds. His body was able to survive, but he did it with the help of doctors. He took vitamins and different things. But he believed that his body had survived and he had abused his body so much, he was like, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to try this. Now, the sad part of the story is he didn't live long. He didn't live to see 60 years old, because it said that after he had done that, he had lost his appetite for food and barely ate anything for the next 10 years. When we think about our relationship with God, it's the same thing. We can sit there and we can read and we can be in the Word daily, but then we have something comes up and we skip a day, and then we skip the next day, and we skip the next day, and we skip the next day. Soon we're fasting from God's Word, and soon our soul is whittling away to nothing. And that's what David warns us. He doesn't want to see us do that. And Jesus' words here tells us that we need it. It is essential to have him as the bread of life and the water of life. And when you think of that, Jesus is both. It says it. He's the bread of life and the water of life. So it shows that our relationship with him is vital. It's vital because of this. Spending time with God is victory in a dying world. The last verse, as we read, it says, "But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals, but the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped." Now, one thing about the Psalms at times is they really hit home. It always seems like David's vindictive at times. You know, you read some of them and it's like, destroy my enemies, melt their homes. You know, he sits there and he talks about that. But this is how much he knows about God. This is how much faith he has in God. He knows that God is going to deliver him from his enemies. And he knows that God cannot stand evil. we look at this, that in building our relationship with God, we draw closer to Him, and He becomes our refuge in those times that are drawing close, those times when things are going to go bad. We might miss a payment. Might be homeless. Might lose a loved one. All those different things we look at and we know that God is true. God will get us through. When we are reading the promises of God and active in prayer, our minds are drawn to Him. Nothing can shake us because we are on the firm foundation of God. And the thing is, we know that bad stuff's going to happen. You read the Bible, bad stuff happens. Joseph knew it. We look at it. Even if things are going wrong in our lives, nothing can shake us from the foundation because we have built that personal relationship with God. And we see these stories. Joseph was in prison, but he still had his faith in God. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, but he still had his faith with God. His friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown into the fiery furnace. And what did they say? They said famously, "King, we will never bow to you because our God has the right to save us. And even if He doesn't, we still hold fast to Him." We even see that He gave strength to an 80-something-year-old Caleb who finally, when he got into the promised land, wanted the land that he was promised and said, "Give me the sword." And that sword was frozen to his hand, it says, when the battle was done, meaning he had held that sword with all the might that he could not have it removed. That is the kind of God. That is the God we serve. That is the God that wants to have a relationship with you. He was there for Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, Rachel, Hannah, and others who struggled to have children. He lifted a defeated Elijah, who, even though he had seen God's power destroy the prophets of Baal, he was so depressed, he went into an area and cried out to God, "Kill me." And God came down through the angels and ministered to him and helped him through this time. The point of this all is, we see where God is faithful to those who have built a relationship with Him, making Him the Lord of their lives. And while many are shaken, they hold firm to that. They hold firm to this. Perhaps the most familiar is Job to us. Job had everything taken away from him. He had his riches, his home, his 10 children, his servants, his livestock, and even his health, all taken from him. And his wife famously says this, "Curse God and die." But Job answered back at her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He also then goes on earlier to say this, when he hears all that has been taken away from him. He says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." See, Job had this relationship with God. That no matter what was going on, no matter what had been taken away, He had no one to carry his name. He had no riches. He had no home. He had nothing. Satan was laughing at what God had allowed Satan to do. And read it. But God knew it. Because Satan said, if he worships you because he has all this stuff. If you just take it away, he's going to forget you. And God says, no, you can do anything to him except kill him. And he sits there with these boils on his body. He takes a shard of glass and he's scraping his body with it. He has some friends, quote unquote, come and basically not comfort him. God eventually restores to him twice what he had. Because God is faithful. God and Job had that relationship that we need to strive for. So here's the thing, your next step. Here's your next step. Let me throw this out at you. Perhaps you're going through a trial right now. Maybe you're holding on by a thread. How's your relationship with God going? Are you working on it? Are you trying at the very least? If not, that thread's going to snap. And you're going to be blown around like a paper bag in the wind. If it is strong, you know that God's going to get you through. You might be on your last thread, but you know God will restore. The Bible tells us that he will restore to us. And we got to hold on. As much as it hurts, as much as anything goes on, we're sitting here today praying for Jason. He's in a coma, and we don't know if he's going to make it. If you were Connor, if you were Joanne, what would your faith be like? If God decided to take your loved one away, would you still have the way to hold on and go? Because that's the important thing to understand. That's the important thing to understand. I mean, I'm speaking from experience. I know one day when I go home to the Lord, I will be greeted by my parents, I will be greeted by my brother, and I will be greeted by my daughter. Amen. But for this time, God has called me here. He has called me here to use what he has given me. And the only way I can hold on at times is because I do spend time in this. I spend time in prayer. I pray with Natalie. We pray for all of you. We pray for our community. And that's what we need to do. That's what you need to do. You need to understand that no matter what is going on against you, nothing can be shaken because this is the cornerstone of your foundation with God. There are many churches throughout this state and throughout this country that when they build a new building, they take a Bible, they wrap it in plastic, and they put it in the ground, and when they pour the cement, it becomes part of the foundation because they understand that our relationship with God is the cornerstone. And what is Jesus called? The cornerstone. So where is your faith today? Are you spending time with God? Here's the thing. I'm going to say this. If you're not spending time with God, you're committing the sin of pride. Because you're saying, I can do this. I don't need God. But no matter what you're going through, no matter if you've got blue skies and everything provided, or you're going through a storm. You need Jesus. You need to work on your relationship with him. You need to spend time in prayer and reading his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come here and worship you and spend time with you. But Father, I pray for those who may not have that relationship. They may be far from that. I pray that you would help them take the steps to grow in their relationship with you, to truly understand what it means to be Lord of their lives, the cornerstone, the foundation, the spiritual meal that they need. Father, I pray that they would understand, especially on this weekend where we honor the sacrifices, of those men and women who have paid the ultimate price to continue giving us this freedom, they would not squander it. I thank you for them. And I thank you that John Walker McKinnon was one of them. And I ask, Father, I ask that for those of us who do have that foundation and that hope, that we would not fast from it, but that we would continue to go strong and continue to be a light. And Father, that we would also be an encouragement to those who need to begin a relationship with you. And so, Father, I just ask that you would be with us as we go out of these doors today. Ignite in us a passion and a hunger and a thirst for your word and to talk to you in prayer. And may it never be satisfied. May we always be going and reading and praying to be fed and to have our thirst quenched. We ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.